Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Albany Pro Musica, the Capital Region's preeminent choral ensemble, presents the Capital Region premiere of Considering Matthew Shepard, a choral drama by Craig Halla Johnson at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York, on Sunday, March 9th at 6:30 p.m. The oratorio, Considering Matthew Shepard, reflects on the life, death, and legacy of Matthew Shepard, a young man whose murder in 1998 was a pivotal moment in the fight for LGBTQAI+ rights. For the concert, Albany Pro Musica will be joined by special guests from the Albany Gay Men's Chorus, Albany Voices of Pride, and APM's High School Choral Festival Honor Choir. Following the concert, the artists and members of the LGBTQIA+ community and their allies may gather at Russell Sage College's Buckman Pavilion for an informal reception. Counselors and resources from the Pride Center of the Capital Region will be available. We are joined now by the Opalka Family Artistic Director of Albany Pro Musica, Jose Daniel Flores Caraballo, Executive Director of the Pride Center for the Capital Region, Nathaniel Gray, and President of SUNY Cobleskill, Marion Terenzio. Thank you all for being here to tell me about this important event. It's good to see you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
How did this event come to be? Tell me about the planning and the purpose.
In Albany Pro Music, we plan music that captures the human spirit. It has been part of our trademark as an ensemble. I knew of this piece some time ago, and I am very much aware of issues of injustice, in this case, against the LGBTQ community. So I was drawn to this piece not only because of the incredible beauty of the music and how appealing it is, but also knowing that it is a message that sadly is as relevant today as it was at the time it was written, as it was at the time that Matthew Shepard was killed. In Albany Pro Musica, we want to stay relevant with issues around us, and that is the reason we're doing this now.
Could you, before we speak more about the events surrounding the concert, tell us more about the beauty of the music, what you respond to in the piece itself?
It is, it's absolutely spectacular. Craig Halla Johnson have done a phenomenal job of precisely bringing people together with this work. It's called an oratorio because of the structure with soloists and instrumentals and instrumental ensemble and the chorus, but in essence, what he has done that is remarkable is that he has included different musical styles from the classical tradition of choral singing to blues to jazz to Western country music to musical theater, and every piece sounds just perfect for the lyrics. So it's a full drama, which in fact we're going to have a semi-staged production of this to convey a better message. So the music is accessible, is beautiful, it grabs your spirit. The marriage of the text and the music is absolute perfection. That's the best description I could give you of the music. I would add that I believe that it was the purpose of the composer to use this diversity of styles to show in one more way that in diversity we're strong and that we are all still one people.
Nathaniel Gray is the executive director of the Pride Center of the Capital Region. Nathaniel, tell me about the Pride Center's involvement in these events and what the partnership means to you and your organization.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here today. When I found out that this was happening, there was an email that was sent around, and I was connected to some of the folks at Albany Pro Musica. I said, we need to have a meeting. I want to talk about this. I think that the relevance, as JD has mentioned, there's so much relevance to it today. And I can speak about what we're seeing at the Pride Center and why that's there. But, you know, I also felt compelled because I was a young rural teen, effeminate teen in Ohio when this happened, and being raised in a very conservative Christian community. And I saw, I think, what the other side of the reaction was. And so I felt like, wow, what an awesome thing to be taking on. How can I get connected with it? I believe that the Pride Center has an obligation, as the longest continually operating Pride Center in the country, to be a networker. And something that is a beauty of the Capital Region is how many rich, different events occur. And one of the difficulties is knowing that they're happening. And so I knew that we could play a role at the very least in marketing it. And then I asked some questions, some follow-up, you know, how do we think about maybe an event afterwards? The social worker side of me was like, you know, I don't think anyone should watch this and just cry on their way home to Glens Falls as they're processing this. Like, maybe we could have a space to talk and community build around this very sad event that can also be very inspiring for the advocacy that we need to be doing.
I imagine that the piece itself and the story it tells will encourage people to want to discuss it afterward. But how do you encourage and facilitate conversation around sad and heavy things in your work with the center?
So first, I think that it's important. People have to feel a sense of safety. And so that is one thing that we try to do as much as possible. And so I am finding, especially in these times, especially today being today after yesterday, community is the answer when we are feeling these things. And that's why I felt the need for something afterwards, to make sure we had a space to build that community. Because to be fair, to be honest, there isn't much that can be said to make it better sometimes. You know, we're all grieving in some ways. We're all scared in some ways. And just doing that alongside someone else who is feeling something the same is really, really powerful. And so I think that that is a first piece to this. And then I would shamelessly plug that also, if you're feeling all those feelings, there is an advocacy day, the day before this beautiful piece, and also a day of advocacy that we've organized with a lot of community leaders on Tuesday, the 11th, really to give voice to, coincidentally, rural and suburban LGBTQ people. And so the marriage of all of this and the timing of all of this, I think that there's a place for everybody to in this fight, and it's to build community. It's to see this beautiful piece, be reminded of this story, and then figure out where your place is now in the community.
Marian Terenzio is the president of SUNY Cobleskill and works with Albany Pro Musica and will participate in some of the events. What is this staged presentation and weekend of advocacy mean for you?
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm also the vice president of the board of Albany Pro Musica, and I chose to be on that board because of the power of music. I have a music background myself. I'm a psychologist. So I'm here as an educator and a board member, understanding the power of the arts in this. I'm also here to say that for me, education is the most powerful democratic tool we have. And the more we understand to figure out the signal from the noise, the more able we are to have agency of our own lives. I think what's happening today, I mean, years ago, moral panic existed. And we saw that not just in the killing of Matthew Shepard, but how it played out with the AIDS epidemic. You add that today to the post-truth era, to social media adding its own what we call echo chamber, that you cannot find the contrary or other kinds of diverse opinions on social media. And you add the lack of understanding of free speech and how that sits in education. All of those are countering the power of what higher education and education in general should be doing. In essence, we've usurped our responsibility of an educated society to tools that really are countering where we find our compassion, where we find our humanness. And also, the more you limit your vocabulary, the more you limit your thinking, the more you limit your creativity, the more you limit your compassion. So this, not only my role with APM, but to be a part of this event, brings music, education, democracy, all those pieces together. And you'll feel it from the intellectual to the emotional to the profound.
I think we can all wrap it up. That was beautifully put, incredibly articulate, but we do actually have more time. But very well said, and thank you for saying it. Jose Daniel, could you tell me about the staged element of it? This isn't something that you commonly do, and give us more of a description of the semi-staged element of this beautiful concert.
Well, this work has several solo roles, including some characters such as Matthew himself and the family of Matthew and so on. So I went to a stage production by the composer himself with his group Conspirare in Philadelphia last October, and I was so inspired by it that I met the stage director, Elliot Forrest, who lives in New York City, and invited him to be our stage director. So we're doing a semi-staged production, right, in which the soloists will be telling the story with their characters, and the chorus is in the background. So what this does for the production is to make it even more accessible, to have people better understand what is happening through the oratorio. Because, for instance, the fence where Matthew was killed in this oratorio is three characters. Is the fence is talking from the times before the killing, during the killing, and after the killing. And as a witness, as a sole witness of this crime. This is very fascinating, the way the composer treated that. So it's one more element. It includes narration. So we have two actors from the Capital Region that are going to be on the narrator role. So in essence, this is like going to a Broadway show that is based on a true story, a very compelling story.
How do you and Elliot Forrest work together, or do you, as the sort of preeminent leader of this organization, get to cast the soloists and the actors from the Capital Region?
I did all the casting of the soloists with the characters. But it's a very interesting dynamic working with a dramatist who has a unique view of what this needs to look like. In fact, sometimes his view differs a little bit from that of the composer. And he's a good friend of the composer. They know them personally, of course, they have worked together. But it is my role, of course, to find common ground between the intention of the composer, the intention of the dramatist, stage director, and my own vision of the work. I must say that when you do this kind of work, knowing what the composer had in mind is so important. So if we have a minute, I'd like to quote something that the composer said just recently in a documentary. He said, "When I think," this is Craig Hella Johnson speaking, when I think of the word considering, I think of something carefully taking the time for reflection. Slowing down and reflecting on the value of life, in the value of the life of Matthew Shepard. This is not only about Matthew Shepard. This piece itself is really about all of us, all of us. When I think of the title, Considering Matthew Shepard, it has to do with that invitation to reflect, to be quiet, a way to kind of remember who we are. How can we get back home, remember who we are and the inherent full value of our life, of every living being. So, in fact, you know, you mentioned the choirs from the community that are going to join us. They join us at the end only for one movement, and the title of that movement is All of Us. Because the time that we're living and the need to hear this message is for all of us. In this nation that we love, that is so divided, and that we need to remember we're all one people, one community, one world.
Marian, I see you nodding along emphatically. Do you have more of verbiage to gift us in reaction to what Jose Daniel just shared?
The all is in the context of the diversity of all. I hearken it back to nature. I always go back to nature because nature is almost perfection. And the more diversity in nature, the more alive it is and the more it thrives. So when Jose Daniel says all, first of all, the music speaks to that because there's a whole bunch of different genres. So even the diversity of one, the only way one can stand is through diversity. So all means that we have to be open to whatever our citizens, fellow citizens have to share. I don't believe that telling somebody they're wrong or shutting them down, which is happening with free speech, is an all or appropriate. We all have something to say, and if it's well-intentioned, we must listen and add it to our narrative so that we can continue to bring all to the table.
Nathaniel, when you were speaking earlier in this segment, you mentioned that we could discuss what you're currently seeing at the Pride Center, probably especially since executive orders regarding trans citizens are being, you know, thrown about wildly since January 20th. What are you seeing? How are people holding up? What can people, allies and other LGBTQIA+ people do?
So what we're seeing, it's a wide array. One fascinating thing, just to start from a hopeful note, is that we live in New York State. And one of the things we're seeing is emails of folks who are planning their move here and they're figuring out where they're going to build community. And I'm grateful they're reaching out to us and letting us know. And we have some things in the side burners to really even create like a introduction to the community for a lot of those folks. That's something we're considering long term, how we do that, because I think we're going to see that. On the other side of the coin, I had an hour long conversation with a mother of a 26-year-old trans son who was about to send in his passport update process. And I said, please don't do that. I've heard a story of someone getting their documents sent back shredded because the gender markers didn't match. And so these are the kinds of real life tangible conversations that we're also having. If anyone goes to our newsletter, newsletter.capitalpridecenter.org, the February newsletter is still up and current because it is so vast and it really reaches into a knowledge that I wish no one had to have right now, that eighth grade civics class knowledge of what's the federal government, what's the state government, how do their laws interact. We are literally talking about the difference between being in New York State and safe with an X marker on your gender on your ID for your license if you're in the Amtrak station. But if you're on the Amtrak train, you're not safe because that's a federal space. If you're between TSA, I know of a person who was taken off a plane in Florida with an X marker on their New York State ID, and they were questioned. And so I think that we have to also acknowledge, and this is where I'll pull the allies in, there is 1% of the whole population being targeted right now. It is a red herring. Don't fall for it. There are real issues people actually have problems with in their real everyday life. And those people are super scared. And we need all the allies to step up and start, you know, speaking out, holding the line on, you know, to what Miriam was saying around misinformation. One of the pieces we educate on at the Pride Center when we're doing our training, one of our final tips to people is the best activated ally is educated. Because you can be in the room and be in the room without any other LGBTQ people there. And you can say, oh, actually, no, that's not how I would say that. I would say it this way. This is the better way to, what are your pronouns, right? So we need those folks to stand in the gap right now and help us hold it down. Because I can tell you the emotional piece to all of this, being targeted from your federal government. I could reach to research that shows that when Black communities are targeted in, let's say, a very public death of somebody, the mental health crisis spikes for Black youth. So I think we could extrapolate that trans youth, trans adults are being targeted so excessively right now and in such an unnecessary and unreal way that dehumanizes them. And that's, we need to protect them, let them live, and be joyful, and have allies step in the gap.
Albany Pro Musica presents the Capital Region premiere of Considering Matthew Shepard at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York, on Sunday at March 9th. There will be links to more information on all of the organizations involved posted along with this conversation at wamc.org/roundtable. Thank you all for being here, for your good work in our community, and I hope you have a marvelous performance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.